Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily. According to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, God is indeed concerned what you think. God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is December 14th, 2025. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road, Bible study at 9:30 a.m., worship at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. We assemble again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, WGNZ AM 1110, also FM 104.3, or by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, that's 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414. Or you may email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority, and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith, for the scriptures teach that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Keep this in mind, that the way we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, is the way we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you've learned from our earlier studies that the scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. And as such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, and in Revelation 22 verses 18 and 19, not to add to nor to take away from God's word. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? We're so glad that you are with us on this second Sunday in the month of December, as we are rapidly moving closer to the close of 2025. And we'll have some things to say as we wrap up the year in a couple of weeks. But as we progress through what we have been studying, last week we talked about what the Bible had to say with regards to ambitions and how important it is for to make sure that we have the proper attitude of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. To have this disposition of humility, of servanthood. People have wrestled with what we are going to talk about as long as we have been on the earth. You know, every human being who lives has problems. And these problems are things that he, the individual, must solve. You know, we have synonyms for problems would be challenges. Sometimes we say issues, questions. Every human being who lives has problems that he must solve. In this respect, we are just like the people of the first century. We are just like those even before them, because they're no different than we are. We each have these challenges. There are individual problems. There are family problems. There are community problems. Then there are social problems. There are economic problems and difficulties of every description and magnitude. You know, my friends, problems vary from time to time. They vary from nation to nation in some degree. Some problems are provincial, and others are worldwide. God's inspired word, however, contemplates man's many problems and instructs us completely in solving them. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield to them who puts their trust in thee. Add not to his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. As we have said in our introduction, the word of God provides us with the truth that we need so that we can address the problems of life. It is interesting to note that even the men of science, psychologists, have pointed out that a man reacts in four ways to his problem. And I want you to capture this, that a man reacts in four ways to his problems. Now, many people have used different terms to talk about these four ways, but they're all the same. For instance, John M. Jennings, in 2018, he had said the four ways that we respond to problems are solve the problem, change your attitude or perception toward the problem, radical acceptance of the problem, number four, just stay miserable. But he says that those are the only four ways. Another has put it like this, and this is how we will, in essence, work through ourselves today. He will either flee his problem, he will fight his problem, he will try to forget his problem, or he will face his problem. These are the four ways that every man and woman responds to their problems. Let's turn to the Word of God to see what God's Word has said to us and offers to us to help us in this life with this regard. So, as we've said before, Romans 15 and verse 4, some things that are written in the Old Testament are written for our comfort and patient scripture so that we will understand what God's Word has said. So first, we would note by looking at Jonah. You know, Jonah reacted as a lot of people do when there is a problem, especially when it's a problem presented because they do not want to do that which God has commanded. When man rejects God's will and doesn't want to do what God has commanded him to do, well, that creates a challenge. And a number of individuals, when it comes to not wanting to do what God has said to do, they choose to try to flee. They choose to try to run instead of obeying God's will. You know, in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Note carefully verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Jonah tried to flee from the presence of Almighty God because he felt he had this problem. He said the way to deal with my problem is to flee. When God addresses a man, fleeing is out of the question. The rest of the book of Jonah to the end, and it's just a short book. It just goes through four chapters, and none of the chapters are very long. The rest of the book of Jonah explains the difficulties and the harrowing experiences that the prophet encountered in his attempt to flee the commandment of God. You know, as we continue and we think about Old Testament examples, and we think about this idea, this notion that the way to respond is to flee or to dodge our problem. King David also knew the futility of running or fleeing from the Almighty. Observe the language of the sweet psalmist of Israel in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. And so David came to understand that running from the Almighty, fleeing from the Almighty, trying to dodge from the Almighty is out of the question. And so let a man not make the mistake of Jonah and seek to flee, seek to run, seek to dodge when Almighty God has spoken. This course will lead ultimately to failure. Second thing we observe in solving our problems is this. The second response is that of fighting one's problem. Trying to fight or to deny one's problem. The classic example of this, of course, is that of Saul of Tarsus. You know, as Saul recounts what occurred to him, and as he recounts his conversion, Saul, who became Paul in Acts 26, starting at verse 9, as he explains these things to King Agrippa, he says, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And then he goes on and he says in verse 11, and I punish them often in every synagogue and compel them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Acts 26, 9 through 11. You know, as we continue to think about this, we go back, and it was the Pharisee Gamaliel who warned of the folly of fighting against God. And he did so by pointing out these following facts. It says, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. And he's talking about them wanting to reject or fight against the apostolic mission. He said, take heed to yourselves as touching these men, meaning the apostles, what you are about to do. Refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, ye will not be able to overthrow them, lest haply you be found to be fighting against God. And so we don't want to find ourselves dealing with a problem, especially when God has directed us through his word and we choose to do something different. Let me try to illustrate what Gamaliel was talking about. If you have ever observed these large earth movers, these are these large diesel-powered bulldozers, and when they are clearing land, it can be very impressive. If you've ever watched these tools at work, moving the dirt, moving the land so that they can then build upon it. Trees would be torn up by the roots and tons of earth with them. No man would think of being so foolish as to put his shoulder up against the giant blade of this earth mover, of these giant bulldozers, and then try to push with all his might against the diesel power. And yet, men seek to resist the power of omnipotence, to resist God's will. Now, God does, we can resist his will. God is not going to force us to be obedient, but to resist God's will, the one who spoke the world into existence, who said, "Let there be," and the light came into being. This is sheer folly. And in such an enterprise, neither men nor angels nor the power of hell itself can prevail against God's will. Remember, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away." Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And so let's not find ourselves when we are faced with the problem. And of course, the greatest problem that we all face is the problem of sin. But God has given the answer to the problem of sin. Let's not try to run away from God's answer to the sin problem. The third response in dealing with problems is that of forgetting or attempting to evade the problem or the issue. You know, this was characterized when Felix, who heard the inspired apostle Paul preach the gospel to him. He wanted to obfuscate. He wanted to forget because of what Paul had preached to him. In Acts chapter 24 and verse number 25, Acts 24 and verse number 25. "Now, as he reasoned," meaning as Paul reasoned to him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Festus and Agrippa also endeavored to evade the matter of God's word. This course of action, this course of trying to evade the problem or the issue is never going to be successful. And this course of action is as futile as the other two, because God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 14. Never going to remember what Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judges him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day." John 12 and verse 48. We must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, we're all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. So then, attempting to evade the commandments of God is futile in view of eternity. Dayton, are you listening? Fourth, the fourth course, or the fourth way that men try to solve problems, and that is, when we face problems, when God speaks, is the only sensible response for humanity. And that fourth way is acceptance. That fourth way is to deal with the problem, to accept the divine answer and the divine solution. We would observe what the Ethiopian nobleman said, and also what Lydia, the seller of purple, did, and the Philippian jailer, and Cornelius. So each of these individuals, the Ethiopian nobleman, Lydia, the seller of purple, the Philippian jailer, all in Acts 16, and then Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. These are all splendid examples of facing the problem of salvation and the judgment to come. These individuals, when the word of God was presented to them and they had the question, they had the issue of their eternity set before them, they did not try to flee. They did not try to obfuscate by denying. They did not try to dismiss. No, they accepted what God's word said. They all complied with the heavenly instruction, and they became recipients of God's proffered mercy. God extended grace. God extended his love to man in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He did so, and he said, here is how you can receive the forgiveness of your sins. And they obeyed the gospel. You know, God says that the person who hears his message of salvation and believes that message, repents of their sin, because he's commanded all men everywhere to repent, acknowledges that Jesus is the Christ, because if he doesn't do that, he remains in his sins, John 8, verse 24, and then surrenders himself to water immersion for the forgiveness of sins, God says that's the answer to the sin problem. He said the person who does this shall be saved. And then we are to continue to walk in the gospel. We are to continue to walk in this new life that we have received. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." And so we need to make sure that we stand firm in the gospel. Now, like I said in the beginning, everyone is going to have to face a problem in life. And the greatest problem that any of us will face is the problem of sin. When you come to understand that you are in sin and that you are at a guilty distance before God, will you behave like Jonah and will you flee? Will you fight against the heavenly mandate to obey the gospel? Will you try to evade this problem, or will you face the problem of sin and do heaven's bidding? You know, another person put it this way, and talking with Glenn Hitchcock, Glenn likes to use alliteration, and maybe this will help you as well. The four ways that men respond to problems, he suggests, are they try to dodge, they deny, they dismiss, or they deal. Dodge, deny, dismiss, deal. But deal in the sense of they accept that which Almighty God commands. You know, our prayer is that if you have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you will obey his blessed will while you are able to. We each must face the problem of sin. And once we're in Christ, problems don't cease. We still have to face the problems that the adversary throws at us. But the answer to the problem comes from God's word. God has provided the means so that we can live in this life and prepare ourselves for an eternity with him. Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter how you think. Dayton, are you listening? God has offered to man the answer to his problem. The answer to man's problem comes in the person of Jesus Christ. It comes in his gospel. The gospel is God's answer to man's problems. Will you obey the gospel? We're here ready to help you to complete your obedience to the gospel. Reach out to us so that we can give you an answer to your Bible question and show you what God's word says so that you do not dodge, so that you do not deny, that you do not dismiss, but that you will truly deal, accept that which God commands of each of us. Dayton, I hope you are listening.